It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As the Pennsylvania Senate begins an inquiry into whether to remove embattled Attorney General Kathleen Kane, a Robert Morris University poll out today shows nearly 44% of those polled say Ms. Kane should resign from office, a jump of 10 percentage points from May. Ms. Kane's law license was suspended last week due to perjury charges, and Senate Republicans and others are wondering whether she can still do her job. I'm joined now by phone by John Micek, opinions editor for Penn Live and the Patriot News of Harrisburg. John Micek, good to have you with us.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good, thank you. You can join the conversation with your comments and questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'll put the same question to you that Robert Morris University put out, and that is, do you believe that Attorney General Kathleen Kane can still do her job? Should she stay in her position, or should she resign from office? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. John Micek, first of all, if your law license has been suspended, how can you still execute the duties of Attorney General?
Well, if you ask Attorney General Kane and her people, she'll tell you there's no issue at all that she did. In fact, Kane feels that she can perform about 98% of her duties, and reasonable people can disagree on that. I mean, what's pretty clear is she can't sign off warrants. She can't argue cases in court. She can't file legal briefs. She can't sign search warrants. I mean, sort of the legal stuff that you would expect an attorney general to be able to do, she clearly cannot do. Her office claims that the major decisions are undertaken by the chief deputies of each unit, the criminal and civil and charities and narcotics and that kind of thing, and that she is more sort of a CEO who oversees these people, and that a vast many of her duties are administrative, that I guess which makes her sort of a popularly elected HR director more than anything else. But, it's at Penn Live, we have now editorialized three times calling for Mrs. Kane to resign. The removal of her law license was the occasion for the third one. And frankly, whatever her office says, we do not believe that she can function efficiently in the position without her license. I mean, it's just another sideshow distraction that isn't necessary.
Is there, though, while a lot of this may be spin, by the people that are working for her and are trying to help her stay in office, is there some, level of truth or accuracy to what they're saying, that that largely what she does or what the Attorney General does is an administrative function?
Not having ever served as Attorney General, I don't know what percentage of her day is devoted to legal stuff and what percentage of it is devoted to administrative stuff. Again, I would imagine it would be exceptionally difficult to function as Attorney General if one does not have a law license.
Well, clearly, according to the Robert Morris University poll, only 15.3% of Pennsylvanians surveyed earlier this month believe that Kathleen Kane should remain in office. So there doesn't seem to be much public confidence in her ability to do the job. What have you gleaned from the RMU poll?
Well, clearly that. This is now, I think, the second or third poll that we've seen. The last one was a Harper poll, and there might have been a public policy poll as well, that Attorney General Kane has in fact lost the public's confidence. And she is adamant in her desire and the position that she is not going to resign. I think that just has a deleterious effect. I mean, that it has now become more about her than about the office. And frankly, the office itself should be larger than any one person who is holding it. And that perception now, I think, has been turned on its head.
The governor has said, and he said it on this program, that he wants to see her resign. Clearly, there are many members of the legislature who would like to see Kathleen Kane resign, and which she's indicated she's not intending to do. She says she's innocent of the allegations of impropriety. So the question then becomes, what can be done to remove her from office? We know that the legislature, with the governor's blessing, has begun a concerted effort to do that. What exactly are they doing, and what can they do?
All right. Well, there are two tracks. One of them is quite lengthy, and that's an impeachment trial in the General Assembly with the articles brought by the House and a trial in the Senate, which takes rather a long time. The state Senate itself has impaneled a special committee to study whether or not they can invoke this constitutional language, which hasn't been invoked since like 1891, where they could remove her by a two-thirds vote for what's described as sort of like extraordinary circumstances. And that was last, as I said, last employed in 1891 against a then sitting Auditor General, mind you, under a completely different state constitution and a completely different set of circumstances. So no one really knows quite how to proceed with this. This committee has 30 days to do its work and then return a recommendation to the full Senate on whether to proceed.
We're talking with John Micek, who is opinions editor for Penn Live and the Patriot News, about the latest developments in the Kathleen Kane case. The Senate is looking into trying to find ways to remove her from her job. A committee has been formed, and there are 30 days, as John just said, for them to do their work and make a determination about how exactly to proceed in terms of how to remove her from office. And again, she has said she's not going to resign. She's innocent of any perjury charges. So the question is, does the public have any confidence in her? Clearly, the latest RMU poll indicates she does not. So we're talking about all of this with John Micek, and we'd like to hear from you as far as your opinion of whether you have any confidence in Kathleen Kane remaining in office, and are you satisfied with the procedure that has been undertaken to remove her from office? John, the committee is made up of three Republicans, three Democrats, and a Republican ex officio tiebreaker. What does that mean exactly?
The ex officio member you're referring to is Senate President pro tempore Joe Scarnati, who, as the chamber's presiding officer, is pretty much ex officio on every single standing committee in the Senate. So they would bring him in the rare event that they would require a tiebreaker, but that's sort of just a pro forma kind of thing. There are three Republicans, Paul, as you noted. The chairman is State Senator John Gordner from Columbia County out here in central Pennsylvania, Senator Lisa Baker from Luzerne County, and Senator Jean Yaw from up in Lycoming County. The Democratic members, Senator Judith Schwank from Berks County, Sean Wiley from up in Erie, and Arthur Haywood from down in Philadelphia. So those are the personalities on the panel.
You said the unlikely event that that there would be a tie. If you have three Republicans and three Democrats and they vote along party lines, it seems to me that might be likely that there would be a tie.
Well, yeah, but knowing how these things tend to progress, there usually some sort of unanimity of opinion tends to emerge. But you know, the Senate Democrats have been reluctant to call for Attorney General Kane to resign. So who knows? You might be right. Maybe Senator Scarnati will be called in after all to cast that all-important tiebreaking vote.
And meanwhile, Democratic Senate Minority Leader Jay Costa from this area is expressing concerns, along with others, about too much of this process happening behind closed doors. If you could speak to those concerns, John, and what is being done to ensure as much as possible that these proceedings will be done in public?
As Senator Costa disappears behind closed doors to negotiate a budget. I'm not
always finding the irony in this.
Stock in that one. I mean, clearly there's a partisan gain from this. He would like this to be aired publicly. But I would feel sorry for the public that would be forced to sit through those proceedings, quite frankly. These things often do take time, and no one really knows how this process is going to unfold. Will there be public hearings? How are they going to go about their fact-finding? You know, a lot of that has yet to be laid out, so it's kind of tough to raise an alarm bell when we're not quite sure what's going to happen.
And if Kathleen Kane is removed from office, it would be under a constitutional mechanism that, as you mentioned, has not been used in 124 years. It seems like you have an understanding of how this works, but
thank God somebody does. Yes.
But apparently this procedure is so rare that reporters and lawyers and political commentators thought it had never been used. As of Friday, we were all saying in a never-before-used mechanism, and now it turns out that it was used. You cited the case of 1891, but it's so obscure that nobody can remember the last time it was used.
Yes. As far as we can tell, nobody in the Senate, although there's like pretty good incumbent protection, was actually serving in 1891, the last time this thing was employed. So, yeah, I mean, it was under a different constitution entirely, Paul. The state constitution was fairly thoroughly overhauled in 1969. I mean, there's like one line of in Article 6, I think, of the state constitution that spells out how the Senate can do this. But procedurally, there are no written rules. There's no sort of process that's sketched out. So part of what this committee is going to do, one presumes, is try to find a roadmap to doing this if that is, in fact, the way they proceed.
Debbie on Twitter asks, how can her license be taken before she's been found guilty?
There was a petition filed with the, let's see if I can remember this right, the Court of Judiciary Discipline, because there's Judicial Conduct Board and the Court of Judicial Discipline, which I think is the one body is for judges, one body is for lawyers. So somebody actually filed a complaint with the body that governs the conduct of lawyers. They reviewed it and found that there were grounds to temporarily temporarily suspend her law license. Should she come out at the right end of the criminal proceeding, it's entirely possible she can get her license back. But as long as she's going through this criminal proceeding, her license has been suspended. And Kane's people did make a fuss over that, pointing out that this case has not been fully adjudicated and that it was a tad on the unfair side. But so too is life.
Well, the one concern that people have is that this could trigger legal appeals and case dismissals in courtrooms across Pennsylvania, this suspension. But nobody seems to be in any great hurry to come to a resolution here. So is this a concern at this point? I mean, are we hearing that there are all these appeals because suddenly she's not in a position to weigh in on these cases?
The appeal only took place on the 21st of October, so it kind of takes a bit of time to, file those appeals. I mean, I'm not aware of any deluge of paper, but I'm sure there is some enterprising attorney out there who will find a way to appeal on those grounds, certainly.
And there's also a feeling, I mean, there are not a lot of people who are, rushing to defend Kathleen Kane, but late last week, a Duquesne University professor, Bruce Ledowitz, said that the suspension of Kane's license was unconstitutional. Are you hearing other people talking about that?
Professor Ledowitz, being a professor of constitutional law, I'll leave it to him. I have not heard that argument yet. I mean, I guess he could make a due process argument, and I presume that's what he was doing, but I've not heard that one myself.
And that having been said, now he has said that the Senate can remove Kane under direct address if it chooses, because of the fact that she cannot perform the duties of her office without her license. There's a big lot of catch-22s here.
We're wandering into brand new legal water. I was talking to one of the Senate Republicans today, and they're again expressing some reservations for about what they're not reservations, but they're not undertaking it lightly is probably the best way of putting it.
And in the meantime, when does the hearing come up? When will Kathleen Kane's case be heard on the perjury
next
charges?
Court proceeding? I don't know that off the top of my head. I think there might be something coming up in December, but please don't hold me to that.
So this conceivably could drag on for the rest of this calendar year on into next year. She could stay in office until and unless she decides to run for re-election,
which is next year. And she has already conceded that not having a law license would make it incredibly difficult for her to run for re-election. Being charged with perjury and some other stuff also would make it incredibly difficult for her to run for re-election as well. So there's any number of obstacles against Attorney General Kane seeking a second term. And not, of course, as we've seen from these poll numbers, the collapse of her political capital and public trust as well.
An unprecedented situation which continues to develop, and it's been interesting talking about it. John Micek, who is opinions editor for Penn Live and the Patriot News of Harrisburg, joining us by phone. Thank you, John, as always.
Hey, Paul, anytime.
Coming up, we'll look at how the recent cycling death of Pitt educator Susan Hicks has impacted the biking community in Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.